Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
We give you glory. My God. My God. Eleve to Vaita. Ate Tatalia. Mariano Vegeta. Yabaradoa. Veregedodia Catatina. Baro Cataile Velacuna. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Please sit down. Sit down. When I saw this wall clock, it put me out of the spirit realm. We don't have time. I want to share some things with you tonight. I need to reduce the energy before so I can tell you those things. Your victory in life is a function of the spiritual strategies that you have and apply. Without access to the mysteries of the kingdom, without access to divine strategies, with the greatest potential, you will still fail. And so the reason we explore the oracles of God is because we want to find out the divine codes that makes for advantage and victory in life. If you don't have those codes, you will labor so much, but your results, both in time and eternity, will be so minute. And we wonder, did I not deploy my all? How come I have such inconsequential result? In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 15, he said, the labor of the foolish, he said, it wearies every one of them, because they know not how to enter the city. They know there is a city. They are inspired to walk into the city. They are willing to step into the city. But the very labor of entering the city wearies them, because they know not how. Because the how is held up in the realm of God. That's why I said it is the glory of the Lord to conceal a matter. He said the honor of kings is to go search them out. You are not victorious because you are engaging in something, and you are engaging in something worthwhile. You are victorious because you know how, and you are engaging according to the blueprint of the divine. He said him that striveth for the mastery, he said he's temperate in all things, and he said he is not crowned except he strives lawfully. There is a way by which it is achieved. Every one of us in life has a divine allocation that makes for our victory. But until we tap into it, we will never be victorious. And so tonight, I want to teach you on a very important subject: subduing the city. Many years ago, the population of men on earth was many, many times lower than it is now. Today, men are more. And because men are more, the earth is becoming more wicked. The cruelty and the viciousness on the face of the earth is much more. And so the chances you had to make your mark 20 years ago is not the same chances you have now. And I want to let you know that it's not only men that are increasing in population. Spirits are also increasing. If you study the book of Revelation, as time approached its end, the Bible said, princes in darkness, some were coming into the earth from the waters. So creatures of wickedness that were in the belly of the sea for aeons, because the earth was coming to an end, there was a need for a spiritual quorum in darkness to enact the level of wickedness that can advance the agenda of the devil. So spirits needed to also be mobilized from different dimensions in darkness in order to be able to enact that level of wickedness required to shut the earth down. If you are a novice at this time, you are a victim. This is why you need to understand the secrets that governs creation. What are the codes that are locked up in the foundation of the spirit realm that makes for the advantage of anyone that wants to make progress? If you don't have them, you may cry and pray, you will still be a prey. I'm looking for the day we'll have fellowship in eternity, where you will be there in a timeless dimension and you don't bother about time. All you will seek is more glory. And so you are standing here and suddenly you look at Paul from afar, and where he's standing, even though you are in light, because of the weight of glory, where he's standing, where you are, become darkness. And then your goal is to go higher. I am in light, but I've come to realize that light have different intensity. There is a light one being can carry, and your own light can become darkness. And so in such fellowship, the burden is not time. The burden is height. I want to go higher. Where the quorums of the elders are trapped, I want to see something beyond the crystals. The day will come when we will recognize ourselves in Zion. That day will come. But because we are limited by time, let's touch some things. Why do you need to subdue cities? Before I talk to you about cities, number one, because if you don't subdue cities, you will weary out and your efforts will be wasted. That's why he said the labor of the fool wearies him. He know not how to enter the city. There are many people doing the right thing, but while they are yet doing it, they are being wearied because they don't know how to enter. There is a how to enter so that your efforts will count. It's possible to put effort, but it doesn't count. That's why you need to subdue cities. Because one thing cities come to do is to darken your understanding. So you don't know how to take the right steps. And all your life you'll be doing the wrong thing with all commitment, because they've come to blind your understanding. And you are doing it with all your heart, yet you are not making progress. In order not to weary, you must master how to subdue cities. Because cities come to darken the understanding of men. Why do we need to subdue cities? Number two, so that we can receive our own inheritance. Every man's inheritance has a location. If you don't tap into where your inheritance is captured, you will be a stranger and you'll be an alien. And even though you are right, the things that others enjoy freely, you will not have. When I went to Asia for the first time, I felt helpless in my humanity. If somebody holds you and say, this person insulted Muhammad, they will stone you there. Nobody will defend you. When I was at the airport, they held me. Come here. Who are you? Why are you here? I say, I'm a philanthropist. Go and say, you. They will cut you. I'm a philanthropist. I came here for charity and tourism. I went to Pakistan as a tourist and as a philanthropist. But your certificate, your passport carries clergy. Even clergy are tourists. They dragged me. It was a full-scale interrogation. You can't stand up and say, it's my right. Why you, if you will die? The reason is because you don't have a legitimate stake there. A Pakistani can stand up and argue. If you argue there, you are in trouble. So all you need to do is to activate all the powers of meekness and temperance. Even if you had anger before, you will remove your shoe and put it in your socks and match it down. Because there's no room for anger. You have no stake there. And that is how many live their lives. Because they are walking in the wrong place. And because they are there, they are at the mercy of others. For you to walk into the fullness of your inheritance, there are cities that you must subdue. Because cities and what they offer is not taken except as the kings are conquered. Because every territory you enter, there is a watchman. Every territory you enter, there is a ruler in that territory. And until you bind him, you can't divide the spoil. In Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19, it says, when a strong man keeps his house, it says it will take a stronger than him to bind him to be able to divide the spoil. If your allocation is in a city, you have to subdue that city before you think of the good of the land. Many people walk into Abuja. They told them that people succeed in Abuja. They have been walking on the street for the past 10 years. Because they have not taken the city. They want to eat the good of the land. The good of the land is in the hands of the strong men. And until you can find the powers that be and bring them down, you can be in the best city and you are a slave there. So the reason we must subdue cities is because our good, such as is needed for our inheritance and success in life, are trapped in cities. Why do you need to take cities? So you can serve God and serve him well. When I went to Pakistan, everywhere I went, even when I went to do charity, there are policemen with live ammunition. So while you are leading people to Christ, you are putting yourself under the mighty hand of God. Have you been in a place where for 7 days your heart is on high tension? If a needle falls down, you wake up. Not because you are sensitive. Don't worry, you will understand it when you go to some places. Praise God. So in order to serve God well, you must take the cities where your locations are. In Exodus chapter 3 verse 17, it says, I will lead you to a land flowing with milk and honey so you can serve me. Because if you don't get to that city, you can't serve God. In Exodus chapter 9 verse 1, it said to Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they may worship me. Can they worship him in Egypt? No, they can't. There are certain places you are, you can't serve God. And so you have to bind the strong men. Take over the city so that when you serve God, you can enjoy the ventilation. If you are a slave in a city, even your worship can be compromised because you have no choice. They can dictate for you what you will do. Did you not read Daniel chapter 1 verse 8? They had to beg the ruler of the eunuch to please allow them 10 days to eat vegetable. It was his goodwill that made Daniel not to be defied. If he refused, he wouldn't have had a choice, because he's a eunuch, that is a slave that is castrated. You can't serve God except as you take over the city. A day came when the same Daniel that was begging, the Bible said the king thought to make him the president of the realm. He had won the city. At that point, anything he wanted to do, he could do. If you don't win the city, you can't serve God. What is a city? There are 4 definitions I have for a city. I wish I would have time to do a teaching on each individual cities, because of the uniqueness of strategies required to dominate them. But as God grants time, we will do that. The first city, because there are 4 cities every man walking on this earth must subdue in order to live a victorious life. If you don't subdue those 4 cities, your life will be a mirage. And for those of you who are honest, you will know what I'm talking about when I'm done. The first city a man must subdue is the city within. The soul of a man is under contention, because the soul is the bridge between the spirit realm and the natural realm. And so the spirits that are lords in the natural realm try to find a place in the soul to control the man. And the spirits that are lords in the spirit realm also try to get a place in the soul of the man in order to subdue him. That's why Ephesians 4:27, he said, giving no place to the devil. Because that is a city that strong men want to enter in order to take control. When the devil takes control of your mind, he rules your life. When God takes control of your mind, he rules your life. And so the first city you must conquer is not external. The most sensitive city any man will find himself is his soul. Every action you take before you took it, there's a control tower from within you that determines whether you do it or not. And even if you do it, whether you are happy about it or not, it's also a function of the set of information that comes from this control tower. So you must win this city to be able to live according to the blueprint of heaven for your life. There are many people who would have loved to serve God, but the city within is under attack. So even though they want to pray, they can't, because they are arrested from within. Even though they want to give, they can't. They are arrested from within. Until they conquer this city, they cannot live out their destiny. And so when you see such men, the help they need is not positional. Many times you think you want to help somebody and you start giving them position. No matter the position you give them, if you don't cause them to win the war within, they can never have any impact wherever they are. Rather, they will become more relevant slaves. Because when you give them position, you give them exposure. The spirits that didn't know they were there before, you just introduce them to those cities, to those spirits. And when those spirits come, their captivity will be doubled. It would have been better they were in obscurity, where they knew less spirits and less spirits knew them. Now that you have given them visibility and they've not conquered here, they become more of a slave. The guy is struggling with immorality, and you think the way to help him is to make him a worship leader. Wait until he stands here. When he stands here, he will be exposed to more persons and he will be exposed to more spirits. The next time you check, he is deeper into immorality than he ever was. The guy had no control over money and not mentally. You say, he's my brother. And then you say, I forgive you. And then you put him in charge. The next time, before he stole 1 million, next time he will steal 100 million. Because he has more access, he has more authority, but he's not conquered. That's why the Bible said the man that tames his flesh is stronger than the one that takes a city. He's talking to you about two different cities. There is a visible city and there is an invincible city within. If you have not conquered the invincible city within, everything you do in the visible city is a joke. The first city every one of us must conquer is within. And the way you probe that city is to check the motivations that make you do the things you do. When your motivations are not correct, it means you are a slave within. The proof that you have won the city within is that your motivations are always right. Every action you take is backed up by a motivation that is in alignment with the will of God. If it becomes self-centered, you have lost that city. And if you lose this city, there's no other city you can conquer. Unless you conquer this city within first, you cannot conquer any other city. When you conquer this city within, then you enter the second battle. The second cities are spiritual cities. Spiritual cities are realms that spirits dwell in. There are spirits in the invisible realm. There are spirits hovering about in the spirit realm. The Bible said when an evil spirit is cast out of a man, Matthew 12:43-44, he goes about in dry places looking for where it will dwell. If he doesn't find any, it returns. That means there are desolated places in the spirit where spirits hover. That's why a lady asked me when I was teaching on Tuesday, he said since she came to a new environment where she's living, predominated by the sons of the bondwoman, it became difficult for her to win souls. And I told her, if you check, it has even become difficult for you to pray. The reason is because there are spirits in that atmosphere. And so when you enter a territory, the energy level is different. Make no mistakes about it. When spirits dominate a sphere, they put their energy there. It's not everywhere that is possessed by spirits. Some realms are possessed by the energy of spirits. When Jesus came to Peter's mother-in-law, he didn't cast out the demon. The Bible said he rebuked fever. Because the fever is an energy of a spirit of sickness and infirmity. So the spirit himself may not be there, but his energy is there. The same way the energy of a spirit can dominate a man, the energy of a spirit can dominate an atmosphere. Why do you think you come into a service moody? But after a while, when the worship is intensified, you start jumping and shouting. You didn't come into the service shouting. The energy of the Spirit of God has dominated the service. And so upon come, you begin to interact with it. The reason you are excited is because you are receptive to that. You received it. The same way you can enter a place and the energy of immorality will dominate. If you don't know how to fight and shut out those energies, they will be planted into your soul. And the first victory you have here, you will lose it. I've known people who went for NYC in 21 days, they were disflowered. Because they stepped out of one energy and entered another energy. I've known people who went into a business and in the first 1 month they became liars. Because they left one energy and entered another energy. There are spirits hovering in the spirit realm. And what they do is that they emit their energy into the context where men dwell. So that a man who is receptive to their energy will attract their presence. If you receive their energy, you invite them into your life. That's how these spirits work. And so in order to win the war over spirit cities, what you do is that you resist the energy constantly. When you come into a place and you discover people are immoral, you have to take a stand. If you don't know that this is warfare, you will be there saying, God will help us. You will not be helped. You will drown. It will begin with lust. After a while, it will begin with talking with one or two persons. The next time, you are crying on your bed because you just fornicated. You didn't know how to resist that city, that energy, because you didn't know that there was a spiritual city there. I've taught before from Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10, how that Paul said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He said, put on the whole armor of God, wherewith you'll be able to stand the wiles of the enemy. And he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Principalities come to dominate context. And when they release their energy there, anybody who receives it becomes a slave. So the second city you must dominate is the spirit cities. Most times, the physical environment we live derive their reality from the spirit city. That's why you hear names like Egypt in the Bible. At first you think it's a country. Later you discover it's a spirit city. Because what Egypt wants to do is to stop the worship of God. You hear Babylon the Great. At first you thought it's a country. A point come, you now discover it's a city in the spirit. What Babylon intends to do is to bring mixture into your life. So that God is the energy, the temperature and the reality of God is compromised with the reality of other spirits. And a point comes, your pursuit becomes greatness. And you don't care whether you are right or wrong. The guy entered into ministry at first with passion for God and for souls. After 10 years in ministry, his goal becomes a cathedral and money. He doesn't know when he forgot about God. He forgot about soul. Babylon has attacked him. A point came, he began to mix fame with spiritual authority. A point comes, he begins to mix the anointing with psychology. A point comes, he begins to mix divine direction with human strategy. And a day will come, he no longer tells whether it is God leading him or his mind leading him. A point comes when if God doesn't speak fast, he calls technocrats. And so Babylon has entered. Babylon brings mixture. And the reason he will do that is because his focus is no longer God. It's now about greatness. That's why it's called Babylon the Great. Compromise God and we give you greatness. Compromise God, we give you influence. Compromise God, we give you honor. But it's a subtle city. If you don't know how to fight it, you are gone. A day comes, you forget about evangelism. You start doing music concert. And even the music concert is not censored by the spirit. You know people love music. And so anything you do that gets people's attention is good. A point comes, it's no longer about prayer and fasting and evangelism. It becomes about comedians. And you say, when they come, we win them to Christ. You don't know when mixture sets in. And then the comedian comes and waters down the doctrine. The comedian comes and waters down sacred and hallowed things. The things that we dread, they play with them. And after a while, everybody takes those things for granted. Church has become fuller, but the fear of God has died. Church has become fuller, but the worship of God has died. Church has become fuller, but the power of prayer has died. When you were few, everybody was a prayer warrior. When you were few, when you prayed, the hall vibrated. But now you are 1 million, and when you are praying, even the flies in the hall doesn't notice. We were in a biannual conference of one of the biggest church bodies in Nigeria. They say people should pray. Over 100,000 people were praying. You couldn't hear the prayer. If you were there, you would sleep off because the energy died. Great men show up. Mighty men show up. All the black jeeps were assembled. Even the testimonies that were shared, all of them were in 1980. Because it was in 1980 that the energy of God was strong. You are permitted to burn like a star. When you enter a city, just fly. It's not your job to disciple the people. If you find the spirit of the territory, hack it down. When you enter there, shift the people to another dimension. Open the city and walk out. Anything they do is their business. You have opened the door. So we shine when we operate in apostolic dimension. But when it comes to apostleship, sometimes you look, you see some students. You know that where you want to go, they won't understand. And because it's not about what you know, you will step down. Ah, hey. So those of you who are deep, bear with us. Hey, hey, yeah. There are five spiritual protocols for subduing any city. I'll list them to you quickly. And then we'll read some scriptures so that we can cover mileage. We have just 10 minutes. The first strategy of taking any city is what we call apostolic mapping. Apostolic mapping is a system of spiritual spying in order to find out the strengths and the weaknesses of a city so that you can strategically enter the city and divide the spoil. Apostolic mapping precedes every city that must be dominated. If you study the scriptures, you will find out whether physical city, spiritual city, there was always a need for apostolic mapping. People who don't have spiritual wisdom and people who are not trained in battle, when they enter a city, they just begin to emit energy because they think with the energy they have, they can take over. You don't take over with energy. If your energy is not accurately coordinated, you can't win a city. For you to win a city, you must first of all map it in the spirit. That's what determines the kind of strategy that is most effective in taking that city. I read a few scriptures for you. Number one, in Jeremiah chapter 1, from verse 10 to 12. He said to Jeremiah, I have ordained you to uproot and to plant. That means it was his ordination to either take over city or to establish cities. But for him to do that, apostolic mapping must first of all be put in place. And in verse 10 he said, see, I have this day set you over nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the authority has been given, but moreover, God asked him, what seest thou? What seest thou? If you have not mapped out in the spirit, the power will be in vain. You can be the most prophetic. You can be the most prayerful. You can be the most powerful. But if you have not seen, the power will be in vain. What seest thou? He said, I see something that looks like the rod of an almond tree. He said, you have seen where. Now you can subdue. The reason is because the power for Jeremiah was a rod in the spirit. It's a scepter. That means Jeremiah's strength is authority, not sight. There are prophets that function by the forensic nature of their prophetic order. And there are some prophets that don't even have any forensic dimension. But when they talk, the first time I heard Bishop Oyedepo, when he spoke, he said, he is a prophet sent to the nation. And my knowledge of the prophetic was so minute. And I say, I have not seen you give any word of knowledge to anybody. You have not called anybody's name. You have not called any situation. How are you a prophet? Because I knew so little. He is a Jeremiah order. He has the rod. If he talks, even if he doesn't see, if you like, go and argue, it will happen. So God needed Jeremiah to know the power that he carried, and the power was in the rod, because the prophetic order of the Jeremiah's tribe is in the authority that they command. That's why many times you see some dangerous prophet, they will never give any word of knowledge, but when they teach, it's prophetic. When they talk, it's prophetic, and anything they say must happen. If Jeremiah didn't see this thing well, no city would have been uprooted by him, and the power to establish nation would not have been there. There are some of you who are in the business world, you have not seen. That's why you are running from one office to the other with proposals. You have not seen. The day you see, you become a lord in the business world. Because it takes apostolic mapping. It takes sight in the spirit to be able to dominate cities. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 14 to 15, he said to Abraham, he wielded the whole world to Abraham. He said, indeed shall the nations of the earth be blessed. But before Abraham took any city down, he said, look up from where you are standing. And when Abraham looked up, he saw north, south, east, and west. And he said, everything you have seen, not everything that exists. There are two different things. He said, as much as your eyes can see, I have given to you. Because it's what you see that you have. If you don't see it, you can't have it. So the boundary of Abraham's blessing is a function of his vision. How much have you seen? I know God told you he has given you Africa. Have you seen Tanzania? Have you seen Kenya? Have you seen Ghana? Have you gone to the east? Have you gone to the west? Have you seen Egypt? God may give you Africa, but all you see is West Africa. All your ministry will be in West Africa. If you are able to see Egypt, you'll be the first person to enter there. Because if you don't see it, you can't have it. God have told you, you'll be a millionaire. But have you seen how to become? If you have not seen it, you will carry that vision until you are old. You will talk about it boldly, but you will never fulfill it. Listen, this is why we pray. When we are praying, it's not because we are trying to meet up a spiritual ritual. What prayer does for us is that it exalts us to a height where we can see well. Because when we are on ground, the mountains can block our sight. So what we want to do is that we want to ascend in the spirit so that we can see from the place of advantage. In Habakkuk chapter 2 from verse 1, he said, I will stand upon my watch and see what he will say to me. And he said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. If you don't see the vision, it can't happen. The moment he saw it, he said, though it tarries, it will come to pass. It will not lie. God tells you, you will be a president. What have you seen? God tells you, you will be one of the greatest millionaires from the West. Have you seen anything? If you have not seen nothing, you have nothing to work with. This is why every time cities are in view, sight becomes a necessity. Every time cities are in view, vision becomes a priority. If you don't have the vision, you can never possess and dominate the land. And this is why you cannot tamper with your focus. Anything that affects your focus affects your destiny. Many times, different things come trying to take your gaze from what God is showing you. If you take your focus away, you are in trouble. Because focus is not just putting your sights in one direction. Focus is actually a life regulated by programs, strategies, principles, and laws. So that whether you want it or not, you are looking in one direction. Distractions of all sorts will come. Men will lie against you. Men will talk against you. Men will try to pull you down. Don't attempt to answer anybody. If you try to do that, your life becomes a reaction. And if your life is a reaction, you are moving backward. Don't live your life as a reaction. Live your life as a divine action, targeted at an objective operation. And as you look there, you achieve it. Don't let anybody take your gaze away. Anything can happen. Anything can be said. Put your gaze where you are going. Jesus was faced to the cross. Everything they threw at him, some were positive, some were negative. He kept going in one direction. The Bible said something. It said the people came to drag him, to make him a king. He was focused on the cross. The Bible said that while he was going through Samaria, the people rejected him. His disciples became angry. Come on!
How can they try this? Let us call fire to burn them. Shut up. I'm not moved by condemnation. I'm not moved by applause. I'm heading somewhere. Because if my vision is affected, my destiny is lost. You must fight to keep your vision. Because the strength of your destiny is a function of what you see and how well you see. Some people have lost their sight in the spirit. And that's why they are being destroyed. When the Philistines wanted to destroy Samson, they didn't shoot his heart. They didn't pull out his intestine. They dug out his eyes. The moment his sight was gone, his vision was destroyed. Don't lose your focus. What you become is a function of what you see. In the spirit, we call it apostolic mapping. When Joshua wanted to take Jericho, he knew how it works. The Bible said in Joshua chapter 5, he went to stand and he was just looking at the city. He kept looking at it. And in chapter 6 verse 2, the angel of the Lord came to him with his sword drawn out. And he began to give him strategy. He said, get the priest to blow the trumpet after walking around the city once in 6 days. They should blow it once. And he said, on the seventh day, they should walk 7 times and blow the trumpet 7 times. The moment they did that, the city collapsed. And he said, let every man run to the first person in front of him and he will subdue him. This is not for preachers. This is how men rule in life. This is how men succeed regardless of adversity. This is how men succeed regardless of opposition. They know the power of sight in the spirit. And every time you see them, they are trying to survey. They are trying to survey. In Numbers chapter 13, before God took over the land that he promised Abraham, over 400 years before captivity, after they came out, he said to Moses, send out spies to go and check out the city. And the Bible said in verse 17 and 18 that Moses sent out 12 spies to go and check the city. The reason apostolic mapping is important is because God will respond based on what you see. Jeremiah said, I see the rod of an almond tree. Abraham, the Bible says, he saw north, south, east, and west, so he took over the whole world. In this case, some people came and said, they are giants. We are like grasshoppers before them. We cannot fight them. God said, as you have said to my hearing, I will do to you. He said, one day will become 1 year. All of you will perish in the wilderness. Joshua and Caleb, on the other hand, said, we are well able to get into the city and to dominate them. And instantly, the whole Israel was withered to them. Everybody that left Egypt perished in the wilderness. Only Joshua and Caleb. And a generation that was born in the wilderness. If you don't see, you can't dominate. And if you don't see, God will have nothing to work on. He was the one that told you, you will be an apostle to South Africa. He was the one that told you, you will be an apostle to the nations of the world. But what have you seen? If it takes 100 days of fasting and prayer, be there until he speaks. Because if you don't see, you can't win. If it takes every night of prayer and fasting, make sure you are there until you see. Because if you don't see, you can never dominate. The power over a city is to see realities from another realm. There are many young people with great potentials who are wasting away. And then they see people that they are 10 times better than. They are wondering why these people are succeeding. What are they doing? I'm better than this person. It's what they have seen. You have seen nothing, so you have no authority. They have seen what you have not seen. So even though you are better than them, they have the advantage in the spirit. What have you seen? Before you go out with your certificate, before you go out with your potentials, make sure you have seen something. Because that thing you see is what God is committed to. Ah. What do we do to start stopping time? We need to start contending for the glory. How do we stop time and go to the Greenwich Meridian and say stop for 1 hour and the whole earth will stop rotating? What do we do? I think we need to find Joshua in the spirit. When I look, I can't even go to where I want to go this night. Time is a burden. Stop. It's such a body. But listen to me, brothers and sisters. If you have not heard anything, hear this. Your victory is a function of your sight.
You don't have to look it. You don't have to act it. Just see it. When you see it, even if the whole world rises up against you, you will succeed. Men will think they can pull you down. When they are done doing what everything they know to do, and you keep going forward, it will occur to them that they are inconsequential. That's why you don't bother yourself fighting systems and fighting men. Just keep seeing. If it is true that God showed you something, it doesn't matter who stands up against you. See, your success will be the reason for his repentance. Fight to see. Your victory is dependent upon it. I will never stand up and say, 1,000 souls, am I crazy? But in the place of prayer, the one that rules, the governor of the realm, the one that rides on the clouds, he uttered his voice. He said, the voice of God is upon many waters. He said, the voice of God divided the flames of fire. He said, the voice of God discovered the forest. He said, he causes the hind to calve. When he utters his oracle, even the princes of Hades, they know that they will bow. When Jesus showed up with majesty, after he saw, he entered the synagogue, and the demon said, why have you come before your time? Was he not in the synagogue for 30 years? He had heard and he had seen something. That's why he said, the things that he has seen and heard, declare he unto you. You need to see, brother. I know you have inspiration, I know. But if you don't see, the powers of the realm will swallow you up. I know you have strategies, but you need to see. You know the problem of Nigeria. When you speak, everybody affirms that you are really smart. But if you don't see, the princes will subdue you. And so in order for destinies not to waste, the first assignment that everyone must achieve and achieve accurately in the spirit is to see from the perspective of Abba. You can be an orphan, it doesn't matter. You can be a man without help, it doesn't matter. When you see, that thing you saw will cause your helpers to travel from another continent to find you. He said, your sons and your daughters will come from afar. He says, strangers will stand to build your wall. Now, this project we spoke about, do you know how much we need to power it? It's nothing less than 50 million. How many people can give 1 million here? That means I'm not seeing you. You didn't hear me? I'm not seeing you. Thank God for those that God has raised. But I'm seeing beyond the people in this hall. When I talk, I'm seeing sons and daughters from the U.S., I'm seeing sons and daughters from England. I'm seeing sons and daughters from Ghana. I'm seeing sons and daughters from Zambia. It is a global move. If I were seeing you alone, I wouldn't dare say this. And that is how you will live your life. When God tells you, you are creative. Begin to see yourself providing cars for the whole Nigeria. It may not look like it now. He said, though the vision tarries, wait for it. It will surely come to pass. It will not lie. When God speaks, it comes with energy, the ability to fulfill it. It comes with wisdom, the strategy to carry it out. It comes with favor, the favor that commands men. Oh, I was praying the other day and the Holy Ghost entered my room and he whispered to my ears. He said, four things I must give you for you to become a ruler in your generation. Oh man. It's personal. If you want to hear it, look for me. Oh God. Okay, let me tell you, since he didn't stop me from saying it. Number one, he said, go and pray. When you, if you pray for 7 days, he will tell you your own. Hear this. When you start seeing, sometimes you become an enemy of men. But you will agree to pay the price. Last weekend, I was supposed to be in Sokoto. I concluded everything. A day to the journey, I went to pray and I didn't see myself in Sokoto. What is happening? I checked with the Lord. He said, your feet is not in Sokoto.
I called the brother and I said, I'm not coming. Anything you need to do to make the meeting work, I will give you. But I won't come. When you start seeing, you will offend men. Because there are many things that look smart. You will enter it. Then when you move, God will say, I didn't send you. You will come back and tell them, I'm sorry. God didn't send me. They will hate you. They will fight you. There are certain things God will tell you to do. When you do it, men will be angry. They will gang up to fight you. But don't worry. Just keep seeing and keep going forward. A day will come. The powers that sight will mobilize will make you become like a god on the face of the earth. Do you know what it means for Abraham to wake up and say, I saw a being and he told me to leave my country. He told me to leave my kindred. He told me to leave my father's house. They would have called him a rebel. But he kept seeing. He kept seeing. After many years, he wasn't a father of the Mesopotamian. He became a father of all nations. At first, when he first saw, he was an infant. But many years later, that thing he saw, even the family and the kindred found inheritance in him. When Joseph saw, he said, I saw 12 stars, the sun and the moon bowing down to worship me. They looked at him. How dare you? You who is the last. How dare you see that? And then you foolishly saw it and you are telling us, even his father that loved him, that gave him a coat of many colors, rebuked him. Do you think I will bow to you? But many years later, when he became the ruler of Egypt, do you know the route that he went through? When you see, sometimes he will take you to prison. When you see, sometimes it will take you to the pit. Men will laugh at you. They will say, I thought he said he's a seer. I thought he said God spoke to him. How come he's in the pit now? Joseph was in the pit. He moved from the pit. He was promoted as houseboy. And he finished from houseboy. He became a prisoner for 14 years. Just because he saw. But a time came, he said, until the time that the Lord, his word came. He said the word of the Lord tried him. He said the king sent for to lose him. Even the ruler of the people. He made him lord of his house and ruler of his substance. To bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. Many years later, the brothers that were stronger than him, that threw him into a pit, they came to Egypt as helpless men to buy. When he looked at them, he laughed. He played over their mind. And they knelt down and worshipped him. He said, get up. And what did he tell him? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Your destiny is jeopardized only if you don't see. But if you see, even if you are in the pit, give God glory. Because the pit is not the end. Men will laugh and say his end has come. Keep seeing. Hope you know that even while he was in the prison, he kept seeing. He kept seeing. It was that sight that took him out of the prison. No matter what men say, keep seeing. No matter where you find yourself, keep seeing. David was in Cave Adullam as a man running for his life. He said 400 broken and battered men came to him. Men that were in debt. This was an army commander. How can you make an army from men in debt? But he kept seeing. Many years later, they were called the mighty men of David. And when their credentials was read, he said, Eleazar, the son of Dodo. He said he took a spear. He slew 800 men. And only one man wrought victory for a whole nation. How can weak men become such valiant in the spirit? Because a man kept seeing and he won't stop. The day you stop seeing is the day you die. But if you keep seeing, even if you are in the grave, you will rise again. Because when Jesus was buried, he saw ahead of time. He said, 3 days later, I will rise again. And when 3 days came, he said, the glory of the Father rose him up from the grave. When the women came to look for him, he said, why seek ye the living among the dead? Don't you remember that he told you that 3 days he will rise? You have not seen, you have not secured your future. You want to ask God to give me the eyes that see. Lord, open my sight in the spirit. I'm tired of struggling. I've tried my best. I've done all I know. Show me the visions of the spirit. Hey, am a preacher. I came to show you codes in the spirit. And it's important to do it right. Listen, there are different kinds of prayers. When you pray fellowship prayer, you can lift your hands and say, God, I love you. God, I thank you. God, I love you. But when you want to see, there's a way you pray. The Bible says Elijah put his head in between his thighs. It's not a casual prayer. For your eyes to open, for the vistas of the spirit to open, for the bridge to take place between the supernatural and the natural, a man must be lost in the spirit. You want to pray now like someone who wants to see. Kakatolia, Shagata, Ebolane, Baragwate, Azwa, Twa, 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 Atone, Galaka.
Because we read the book. Sometimes you need to hear our story so you will know why we talk the way we do. When I tell you, you are not disadvantaged. I'm not a motivational speaker. Motivation is good, but it's limited. I tell you as one that have seen the mercy of God. I came from a family where sometimes for lunch we have to go and borrow a cup of garri. There's no money to buy a cup of garri. We have to borrow. And sometimes the debts pile up. And then you come to borrow garri. And they told you the last debts you receive, you have not paid. And now you have to pay. And then when they don't pay, you leave one person and go to another person. And start borrowing. I'm not telling you stories. It said he lifted the beggar from the dunghill and establishes him among princes, that he may inherit thrones. The code is sight. If you have not seen, you cannot rule. You want to fight for your future. You want to fight for your destiny. Lord, show me my destiny. Show me the future. Show me my destiny. Alekado, Adega, Shaya, Ehananos, Galaka, Ate, Ate, Rowanakabade.
You are mighty on your throne. shadow. You are mighty.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hear me. If you fail in life, it's your fault. Don't blame anybody. There is no man on earth that can pull you down except you permit him. So if you fail, it's your fault. I know where I came from. In my house, we went through primary school on debt. When we are going to school, every time they are driving people for school fees, they drive us, we hang around while other children are in school. Because there's no money to pay school fees. When I gained admission into the university, my sister that graduated from secondary school 7 years before I gained admission, it was the mattress she used that they gave me. The mattress had been eaten. It was like mat. I had to fold my mattress, put it in a bucket. The mattress I took to school. It was so embarrassing because there was not even money to buy mattress. There was no money to buy milk for a student going to just one. I only went to school with one cabin biscuit. But I saw the glow. God showed me something. God showed me. See, nobody is disadvantaged. You have just not seen. Just see and wait. When you see, you will be shocked. When God begins to lift you, your life will become a wonder. We're checked in the spirit. We're pressed in the spirit. Because we knew that the only hope we had was to see. And when we saw, it was too late for the devil. You want to cry tonight and say, God, show me the pathway of my destiny. Show me that path. You run, you run, you run. Captivity is about to be torn. He said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream dreams. He said, then was our mouth filled with laughter. Now somebody's captivity is about to be torn. I don't care your foundation. I don't care your adversaries. I don't care wherever you came from. Now in the name of Jesus, I speak over your life as a priest of the Most High. I command your captivity be done in the name of Jesus. Right now, whatever forces are holding you back, I command them to break in the name of Jesus. Now, every city fighting you, receive dominion over those cities. Receive dominion over those cities. In the name of Jesus, go forward. Go forward. Prosper. Go forward. Prosper in the name of Jesus. The devil fought you while you were growing up. The devil messed up with your background. But here is a glorious future for you. Your future will correct your background. Your future will correct your past. Everything you lost in the past, receive a thousandfold now. In the name of Jesus. My God, the anointing of the breaker. There's somebody that a grace is coming upon now. It's called the anointing of the breaker. Men that defy protocols. Men that break status quo. Wherever you are, I speak to you as one helped of God. Right now, take that grace. Ushers, find them. Take that grace now. Receive that impartation. The anointing of the breaker. The forces that broke your priesthood. The forces that defied your upbringing, The forces that damage your childhood, I break it now.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.